I have a little personal Christmas tradition which my husband Luke, my children and my older grandchildren can testify to. And that is, every December, without a miss, when I'm travelling in the car, I make it my business to search for an Australian Christmas tree. This actually started many, many years ago. Dad used to take us up to the classy town of Geraldton for holidays, and we would count the Christmas trees on the way up to Geraldton. Now, up near Henleybrook, where I live, there are scores and scores of Australian Christmas trees which are currently proudly displaying their fiery blossoms. Can we have a look at that first picture? Have a look at that. Aren't they beautiful? They are beautiful. The other week we were talking about the jacaranda tree. Today it is a Christmas tree. Without the blossom, it's a rather gnarled, dreary looking tree, but the blossom makes it come alive. This tree needs no extra decoration. It's perfectly stunning on its own. You can keep that picture up there. You probably already know this, but I'm going to say it because we're talking about God's amazing creation here, and I love talking about God's creation. The Australian Christmas tree, which is also called... Pastor Vicky, would you please come up here?
Neutzia floribunda.
Stay there. She knows the name, botanical name, of every Australian plant. How gifted is she? Yes, stay there. I want to hear it one more time. I say Australian Christmas tree. She says...
Neutzia floribunda.
There we go. She's clever, isn't she, John? That's one of the reasons why you married her, apart from her very good looks. The Australian Christmas tree is believed to be one of the largest parasites in the world. This tree's greedy roots stab victims up to 110 metres away. It's true. The Christmas tree has blades for slicing into the roots of plants to steal their sap. The blades are sharp enough to draw blood on human lips. They actually can cause power failures when the tree attacks buried cables by mistake, and telephone lines can get cut as well. The Christmas tree is indiscriminate, stealing juice from almost anything green. We're talking grasses, carrots, weeds, vines, shrubs, eucalypts. It sometimes attacks its own roots by mistake, and even fallen twigs as well. When one of its roots meet another root, it forms a collar of tissue around it, like a swollen wedding ring, and a hydraulically operated blade then forms inside. Let's have a look at that other picture, Evie. Have a look at this. Can you see the wedding ring-like thing around the roots? Okay. It's interesting, isn't it? Each tree attaches to hordes of victims. The Christmas tree is an icon of southwestern Australia because it blooms so dramatically in summer. It's beautiful. The showy orange flowers have been likened to a bushfire without smoke. A bushfire without smoke. When bushes cleared to create pastures, Christmas trees are often left standing because of their beauty. And also, I think at one stage they were protected because horses loved the juicy sap that drips from their bark, and they were getting eaten, so they were under threat. But even though land would be cleared of other trees and bushes around them, the Australian Christmas trees continued to live because they simply fed off the grass that would grow around them. So some of you might have seen a Christmas tree on its own in the middle of a field and think, well, where's the tree that it's attached to? They still go for grass. The indigenous people of southwestern Australia, the Noongars, call the Australian Christmas tree Mooja. Apparently, before European settlement, when the Noongars would see this tree bloom, it was a sign for them to move from inland towards the coast, because this was a sure sign that the searing heat of summer was on its way and they would be much cooler near the coast. I challenge all of you this December to take a drive with the kids, if you have some. If you don't, borrow some. I'm sure parents would be grateful. And look for an Australian Christmas tree. You could even count them, or take a photo and send it to me. I dare you. I challenge you to find one. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our wonderful and awesome Creator, let today's sermon be a spiritually refreshing moment for all who hear. And as a result, may we all move closer to you. May we all tap into your love, your joy, your peace, and hope. Amen. We had, as John said, a lovely time sharing Jesus in our Christmas concert last week, didn't we? Yeah. It's an easy way to share Jesus. People actually enjoy it. Even if they don't like church, they enjoy coming and listening. Of course, the overriding message of the concert was that the account of the birth of Jesus clearly demonstrates to the world that Jesus, the Son of God, is the gift of love, the gift of joy, the gift of peace, and the gift of hope to a lost and fallen world. I think that came out pretty clearly, don't you? This is the Christmas story in a nutshell. Jesus, the Son of God, is the gift of love, the gift of joy, the gift of peace, and the gift of hope to a lost and fallen world. I mean, who in their right mind wouldn't want to have everlasting joy, peace, love, and hope? What amazing gifts. Come on. They're priceless. People can and do spend a lot of money in attempting to acquire these wonderful treasures. This message of what Jesus is indeed a powerful one that we as Christians must embrace wholeheartedly to get the most out of our relationship with God. Listen to me. I want you to get the most out of your relationship with God. That's why I do what I do. That's why I teach the word. That's why I pastor. I want you to get the most out of your relationship with God. This is so important to me. This is why it is good for Christians to revisit the Christmas account on a regular basis. Jesus came to bring true love, true joy, true peace, and true hope to each individual who is willing to receive him. Him. These wonderful treasures are him. They are who he is. I did a search on Google this week, and there is so much advice on how to enjoy Christmas even if you don't like it. Actually, that was the name of one of the articles I read. How to enjoy Christmas even if you don't like it. Here's another one. 10 ways to have a happier Christmas even when you're not feeling merry. Another one. 10 tips for beating the holiday blues. Holiday blues. Isn't that an oxymoron? Holiday. Yay! Blues. Do they go together? And here's another title. How to enjoy Christmas Day spent all by yourself. I wanted to cry with that one. It makes me feel sad just reading the titles, truly. People everywhere are desperate to have good feelings at Christmas time. Do you know, our choir is going to give some people good feelings in Victoria Park. I know we are. And that's why I like to do it, because I want people to feel good at Christmas time. So people search Google for some sort of advice to inspire them to do something that will deliver a short-term good feeling fix. Please, someone give me a good feeling fix. Is it too much to ask? But the real message of Christmas is not about a short-term good feeling fix. It's about us entering a real relationship with our Creator, which results in us permanently experiencing His love, His joy. Les prayed about that this morning. He was right on track. His peace and hope for eternity. But in the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, how can this be? Isn't that what she said to the angel Gabriel? How can this be? It all seems too good to be true. Is it really possible for Christians to experience this? I was talking about Christmas with my 5.5-year-old grandson, Harvey. Harvey has very good theology. Thanks to his parents and this church, this community he has been raised in, he is very certain in his understanding of who God is. And I think that's pretty cool. To the point where his conversation concerning theology makes me think. Anyway, we were discussing Christmas and how God shows his love. And Harvey said to me that God is a God of love, because he does lovely things for people. I replied, yes, Harvey, this is true. I totally agree with you on that point. But the Bible specifically says God is love. God is love. Not just because of what he does, but it is who he is. What does that mean? Harvey's eyes lifted to the ceiling. And I could see he was really trying to figure that one out as he walked away. It's not a bad thing to challenge the children. It's not an easy one for a 5-year-old. It's not an easy one for a 59-year-old. I'm still trying to figure it out. God is love. God is an invisible spirit who fills the universe. He's omnipresent. And he is love. God doesn't just demonstrate love or give love, he is love. Or true agape love. Agape love is the highest form of love because it is a sacrificial love that unites and heals. This amazing agape love stems from the very Spirit of God, which is everywhere. It originates with him. It comes from him because it is who he is. Go figure. 1 John 4, verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. That's why we're here today. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Let's read it again, because this is a beautiful, powerful scripture. Please take notes. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who love live in God, and God lives in them. Whoa. In John 13, verse 35, Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's how people will know we are Christians, because of the agape love we demonstrate towards one another. Becoming a Christian is trusting in the love of God, and it is having an assurance that his love is growing in us throughout our whole lives.
1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. I want your love to grow. Oh, I so want your love to grow. It is so important because this is what reflects God the most. This is how we will know that you are Christian, when your love is overflowing. We are loved and we have love because God is our source of love. Well, if God is our source of love, what does he say about joy? I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you about the God I know and have read about in the Bible. Now, I know God, and I read the Bible on a regular basis. And this is what I know. Listen to me now. God is not a sourpuss deity looking for someone to smite. I'm going to read that again. God is not a sourpuss deity looking for someone to smite. My God is a joyous God who takes delight in the works of his hands. The rejoicing in heaven when one lost soul is saved is certainly led by God because he is joyful. In Zephaniah 3 verse 17, it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy." He rejoices over you with joy. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. In John 15, verse 11, Jesus said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Some people depict Jesus as if he was serious all the time. No, he had joy. He had perfect joy because he was perfect. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." John 17 verse 13 says, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, Paul says, "You, the church, became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So they became saved. They were persecuted. They were suffering. Some of them would have been hungry, but they were still joyful because they had the Holy Spirit in them." Nehemiah 8 verse 10. "The joy of the Lord is my..." Romans 14 verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." God is full of joy. Undoubtedly, he is the most joyous being in the universe. Have you got a picture of that? He's the most joyous being in the universe. The abundance of his love and generosity is inseparable from his infinite joy. His love, generosity is joined with his joy. He loves giving. Yeah, take that. Take that. I want to bless you. He lasts along. Joy comes from God. We can know joy because God is joy. He is our source of joy. It originates with him. Joy comes from him because it is who he is. He was laughing long before the universe was created. What about peace? I love the little spiel that Dinah read at the Christmas concert last week. She said, "What does peace look like in your life? Is it the last vacation you took?
the precious minutes in the morning you get before the rest of your family wakes up. Some of us mums are like that. The 90 seconds it takes to sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve. If you're carrying around a frustrated heart today because of the lack of peace in your life, there's good news in the Christmas story for you. And it's more than a fleeting moment of peace. The Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. He literally becomes our peace when we receive him as our gift of peace. Look at these beautiful scriptures. I hope you're owning these scriptures this morning, people. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one," whoa, "and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Once upon a time, mankind was the enemy of God. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, that wall of hostility has been broken down. We have been reconciled with God. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." That means it's got to be the greatest peace in the whole universe because we can't even understand it. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3 verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Rule in your hearts. That means don't let it just be there, a nice little fuzzy feeling. It has to rule in your heart. In other words, it has its way. Even when things are happening around you that shouldn't be happening, your heart, the peace in your heart, rules. It has its way. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way." Well, I love that, don't you? I'm throwing that one at you this Christmas time. May the peace of God be given to you at all times in every way that's absolutely possible. May you have peace. It is yours because the Bible has said it. And of course, Isaiah 9 verse 6 calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Jesus, God, is our peace. He is our source of peace. It originates with him. Peace comes from him because it is who he is. Peace. The peace we have is not affected by the condition of the fallen world. Our peace is not reliant upon our surroundings or happenings. We have peace because God is peace and he lives in us. And that peace grows as we move closer to him. And finally, hope. Allow me to tell you that biblical hope is not wishy-washy or desirous of the unlikely. Rather, biblical hope is a confident belief and expectation in the truths and promises of God. Hope in God always has a positive connotation. In fact, the Bible has much to say about him, God himself being our hope. "For you, O Lord," in Psalm 71 verse 5, says, "O Lord, you are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." You know what? I can claim that one. I've known Jesus since I was 6. I'm 59 now, and he's been my hope all my life. and he has never, ever let me down. I've let him down. I've broken promises to him, but he has never broken a promise to me. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Lamentations 3, verse 24 says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. When something bad comes your way, that's a great one to quote. Learn that one. The Lord is my portion. He's my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. He is my hope. I will hope in him. And why is God our hope? He is our assured hope because of his power, because of his provision, because of his promises, and because of his person. They're all put words. I'm saying it again. Because of his power, because of his provision, because of his promises, and because of his person. His person is such that he is merciful. Hallelujah. I've needed a lot of mercy in my life. He's merciful, forgiving, faithful, good, and righteous. Our hope is founded on his character. He is indeed the best source of hope in the whole universe. In fact, he's the only source of eternal hope. The only source of eternal hope. Don't look anywhere else. Don't bother. He is the only source of eternal hope. He is hope. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Our hope. God is our hope. God is love. God is our peace. And God is our joy. If you're a Christian, this is your reality. If it's not, it should be. So live like it. Live like it. Don't become swamped by the things of this fallen world. Evaluate yourself. Check yourself. If you feel like you're running on empty, tap into God more. Tap into God. There's a boundless, endless supply of joy. There's a boundless, endless supply of love when your kids are really annoying you. There's a boundless, endless supply of peace when you watch telly and think, oh no, this is awful what's happening in the world. Could we have the Australian Christmas tree one more time, that beautiful picture? Like an Australian tree, Muja taps into the roots of another tree. Tap into God and draw from his goodness. You might just have one tiny little root there now. You need to tap into him more. You need to spend a little bit more time with him. You need to be doing the things he does. You need to be singing. You need to be worshiping. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be fellowshipping with others who have God in them. Those people who say, I don't need church. Yes, you do, because God is in the church. And you need to fellowship with others. Draw from who he is. If you're feeling empty, get closer to Jesus and draw from who he is. Don't send those roots out elsewhere. Just go straight to the King of Kings. He has a boundless supply of love, joy, peace, and hope. Amen. Amen. And that is exactly what we're showing people in Victoria Park this week on Wednesday night.
We are going to let them see the love, joy, peace, hope in our lives. We might tell the kids off a few times, but that's okay. We're going to do our best. So if you want to shine Jesus this week, come along. Even if you don't want to sing, we need people to give out tracks, to give out things, and people just to watch out for us. That's a really good thing. But come along. But please, show people this Christmas that you have the peace of God. Your family might be going through a bit of a tumultuous time. You be the peaceful one in your family. You be the one that keeps your mouth shut when you know you need to keep your mouth shut. Let peace rule in your heart. Yeah? You be the one that shares hope. You be the one that encourages and gives love to those horrible family members that don't deserve it. You give grace. Allow the love to grow in you. All of these things are a challenge, but you know, as you do them, God actually grows more in you. He honors you. He, as you step out, no matter what comes your way, as you live like God, He will bless you. So love. Emit peace, joy, and hope. Laugh at those horrible jokes in the crackers. Just laugh for that relative that really needs you to laugh, okay? Laugh. Be joyful this Christmas time. Amen? Amen. Has this been the truth? Yes. And the truth sets us free. Amen. And remember to look out for the Australian Christmas tree this year. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your beautiful creation, first of all. We thank you for this magnificent tree, how beautiful it is. We thank you that you give us so many things in your creation to see how wonderful you are. And Lord, I pray that as we look at Christmas trees, that, Father, we will remember to tap into you, your hope, your joy, your peace, your love. When we're feeling empty, I pray that we will go straight to the source of all those things because you are those things. Father, we just thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. We thank you for the hope you've given us. I can be joyful every day of my life because I know I'm spending eternity with you and you're in me already. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that I can be joyful, Lord, because you want me to be joyful, like I want my own children to enjoy life. You want me to enjoy life, Lord. And I thank you for your love, Lord. Your love just blows my mind. That you should send your perfect son and for him to be treated so horrendously so that I can have this beautiful relationship with you. So, Lord, bless City View Church this week as we go out caroling, as we share Jesus with our families even, Father. Help your power to be with us. I pray that we will see miracles, that we will see people set free, that, Lord, we will see people come into a relationship with you. So, Father, bless everybody in this church this Christmas time. May they shine you, Jesus, to their family and friends. Amen. Amen. Amen.